The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Stone and James Millman featuring on this edition, looking back at the 2014 Grand National, as well as looking ahead to three contests at Windsor on Monday. Flat action very much taking prominence from now, and of course Windsor on a Monday seems to be the law pretty much just about now. So how are you, Mr. Millman?
Yep, good afternoon, Alex. Yep, pretty good. After a quiet week, obviously, with Aintree on, the flat kind of gets going a bit again next week. Got Windsor and Redcar on the grass tomorrow and Pontefract on Tuesday. So we finally get some turf action. And we've got massive fields again on the turf. A lot of people obviously haven't been keen to run new weather. We've had 5-6 runner fields last week on new weather. But back on the turf, we've got a lot of double-figure fields. And it's good to be back proper flat racing again.
I, for one, am very excited that Redcar's back. I think I'm the only person.
You are the only person. I swerved Redcar and just went straight to Windsor. But we've got plenty of runners up at Redcar. A nice two-year-old race to start the card. But like I say, for me, Windsor's a lot easier.
Okay.
I hope.
Okay, fair enough. Of course, yesterday was the Grand National. I don't know if you noticed. It went to Pinot de Ray for Dr. Richard Newland and Leighton Aspel at odds of 25-1. Beat Balthazar King, Double Seven, Alvarado and Rocky Creek home. Chance de Roy back in sixth. A little bit galling for myself. Having
that your each way selection.
One, it was beating a short head. So that was a little... a bit of a sour taste in the mouth following the race. But I know I really, really enjoyed the race this year. I think it was brilliant to watch in terms of a lot of excitement, a lot of drama, but at the same time, everyone came back safe and sound.
That again, 2 years in a row now, they've all come back safe and sound, and that is the most important thing with the race, because 8.5 million watched it on Channel 4 when normally you get about 1 million for similar races over the weekend. And the media last couple of years have been keen to kind of bring up the bad points of the race, so the fact that they couldn't do that was very good for racing as a whole, and it was a good spectacle again. It was a lot, seemed a lot harder test than last year. We made about 30 going on the final circuit. There was a lot more casualties. But like I say, the main thing was all the horses and riders were okay. But a cracking general performance from Dr. Newland. Only ever has 12 horses, but he's always been a force to be reckoned with. Old Zelens, one of his first horses back in the day, immediately won, I think, Coral Cup or won big races. And like I say, this one he's improved. He had a recognition, really, from the Fenton Yard. And like I say, he's not very big, but he jumped the fence as well and given it a cracking ride by Leighton Aspel, who wasn't exactly the most emotional after the race, but cracking ride, bearing in mind he retired back in 2007 and come back again.
Absolutely. Balthazar King and Double Seven, second and third, ran as you'd expect, really. Balthazar King, typically tough and
cracking run.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind he's been in the cross-country chases most of the time, 4 wins from his last 4 starts, and I thought he was probably going to do it. Not far from last, he's run an absolutely cracking race, and it does show you that the cross country races can be pretty strong as well, because he's transferred that form to the Grand National. A real credit to the Hobbs team. Double Seven McCoy at least chose the right one. Ultimate Man of Sources on this occasion, he ran well back in third. Those in behind, Monbeg Doug, I thought he was travelling pretty well and jumping well for Paul Carberry. Perhaps he didn't quite stay. My selection, Long Run, he was enjoying it too much. He didn't really give the fences any respect and hit the deck very early. T for three, again, a rare mistake from him. And Tidal Bay was unlucky to get wiped out, but that is the National. It's a bit of a 40-round lottery. Pinot de Ray could easily have come down. He made one terrible mistake late, and Aspel did a good job to sit on him. So it's always great when you're the one that has the luck. But a lot of other jockeys were coming in saying, oh, it could easily have been me.
Paul Maloney was fourth again.
Again, creeping six, on Alvarado.
That's now 6 years in a row that he's been placed. Alvarado. Now, is it a case of Paul Maloney getting horses that maybe are perhaps doubtful stayers, and he just makes sure that they stay, because it's the same ride every year.
Yeah.
And it's not, that's not a bad thing. But do you think that eventually, if he was to ride a little more prominently, he could actually win the race?
I'm sure he must get off and think, if I'd sat 10 laps closer.
But do you think he thinks that, or do you think that is the best that that horse could have got? He's almost riding it to place, if you like.
Generally, the horses he rides, you wouldn't think that they've got winning chances.
Because last year I had quite a big bet on Capablur. Because I knew it would place. You can't know anything in the National, but I was very confident it would place. But honestly, didn't really think it would win.
No. You know. Well, Avada was never in the picture. Amazingly came fourth because he was a long, long way behind. Yeah. Saving the energy when all the others get tired. Like, we had a lot of horses that were doubtful stayers that were pretty handy, jumping two out, and then they did fall in a bit of a hole. But I'll say, before the race, Alvaro wouldn't really have struck me as a horse that had national credentials. I think he's kind of going at optimum speed for that horse. They're not the quickest horses in the world, and they just keep plodding, and probably his sectionals are probably pretty solid throughout, whether a lot of the other ones, like Mr. Moonshine, they gave their jockeys great thrills, but they've gone a little bit too hard for horses that don't really stay, and then they fall in a big hole and stop pretty quickly. But like I say, whether he'd ridden closer, whether it would still have finished as strong as he did, that's the question. But to get six horses around six places is a pretty good achievement. And I'm sure no one more than Paul Bologna wants to actually win the National, and I'm sure he's switched on enough to realise that if he could sit closer, he may well win. But like I say, I think he's just achieved the best out of the horses what he can.
Yeah.
And it is his riding style. He generally is a pretty quiet rider anyway, and he just may feel that's the best to get out of these horses.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a criticism per se, just a talking point. I mean, I suppose if it was anyone else, then you'd be saying, oh, they're so unlucky. But the fact that he's not getting into contention as such, you know, he's not getting out-battled in a finish or anything like that. It's not like he's hitting the crossbar. He's just sort of...
And to be fair, he was a fair way behind yesterday, the top three.
Well, like I said, I backed Chance de Roy, and running up the running, I thought he was going to get fourth or fifth here. And then I looked back and I saw those colours again and thought that, you know it's going to finish strongly. And of course, that running is a lot longer than I think people give it credit for.
Yeah, well, we don't get that in racing. Basically, it is the unique occasion. And Amberley House, remember when he won the National, softer ground that day, but he was a long way fourth, jumping the last, and he managed to come through and win.
Balthazar King is a really stout stayer. Legs had gone to absolute jelly.
Yeah, they were pretty much walking at the end, but I'd say it was just a cracking race, and I'd say the main thing was they all came back safe.
Yep, absolutely. Pinot de Rey, congratulations to Connections there. In the Grand National, we're going to look at some races that are nothing like the Grand National now at Windsor. First up is the 240. It's a handicap over 6 furlongs. James Millman, you're a man of horses and that. A Bobbis race. What is one? Me and Stephen Hall were talking about this.
It's an extra bonus. If you're qualified as a yearling when you buy them, I think you qualify for an extra £5,000, extra £6,000 bonus. So similar to the Racing Post 2-year-old bonuses, you get a £10,000 bonus if you win one of the registered maidens. Mm-hmm. This just extends it through. I think it's £5,000, £6,000 or something extra on top. So it's just a bit of an incentive just to keep owners in British racing, because obviously our prize money generally is a lot lower than abroad, and just trying to get incentives to get people to invest in British racing. I mean, it's a good idea. Generally, though, they're probably won by owners that don't actually need the extra money, because they target Class 4 races and above.
And it does turn out to... They are good races, you know, but that is because the better trainers drop
the big owners, better trainers. But that's what the Bobbis races are. It's an extra bonus. I'm not sure if it's restricted just to British spreads, I'm not sure, but it is a £5,000-£6,000 bonus to the winning Connections.
Okay. Well, the 240 is one of the aforementioned races. 6 furlongs for this Class 4. 12 runners going to post. And as we mentioned there, there's some pretty powerful Connections here. Where should we start here?
Yeah, well, obviously, Garmin of Wind's been in cracking form on Neil Weather. I think he's one of his horses that gave Frank Vittoria a comeback winner on his return from injury at Lingfield. And he followed up later. First time in a handicap off 70. I think he was pretty leniently treated, to be fair, off that mark. And off a mark of 78 tomorrow, I think he's definitely not badly treated at all. But the one I'm interested in is Stomp, Roger Charlton trained gelding. He's actually a half brother to Mince. Obviously, the sprinter that improved dramatically as a 3-year-old for Roger Charlton. Same owners, the blue and yellow colours, and James Doyle taking the ride. Only rated 72. Probably wasn't as progressive last year as they were hoping, but looks the type to do well at 3. Off a nice mark. Could be a nice price first time back after an absence.
Okay, so that'll be the pick there.
That'll be the pick. Stomp, obviously gone with the wind, likely favourite. Won't be easy to beat, but I just think you might get a little bit better value on Stomp.
Okay, next up is the 310 from Windsor. This one, a handicap over the extended mile. Once again, a Class 4 contest. 12 runners for this one. Another interesting race. One that I was interested over the winter was Fleck Earl, who looked nice enough. And he's pretty sparingly raced.
Yeah, obviously, when it's first two starts for William Muir. And I think he ran the same day as that Big Brown or whatever William Muir's got, another horse, Big Baz. And both horses, I think, came back a little bit lame after running at Wolverhampton. And William Muir was quoted in the paper and obviously had a break since then. Hard to know what that form's worth. Very rarely does William Muir get a debut winner. So the fact that Fleckery won on debut suggests that this is a very, very useful animal. First time on the grass, a few question marks. It's one of these races where you've got a little weather form coming into it and a few having their first run back after the winter break. So it's hard to know how fit these horses are and how much they're going to improve throughout the season. One I do like is Ain't Got a Scooby for Clive Cox and Ryan Tate, claiming a useful £5. This runner won first time out last year, so you know he goes well fresh. He's in place of similar markets in the past, so I think he's still handicapped to win races. And that'd probably be the selection. It was an open race. Lou Haif done well since joining Julia Fielden on the first two starts and a Shelley Burkett, but it's very hard to make the running around Ling Fielden. Tends to always get a bit swamped. I think back on turf around Windsor, where it's a little bit easier to make the pace if Shelley can control the fractions, that could run well at a price. But a nice competitive mile handicap and prospect for the older horses, and it'd be a race to keep an eye on for future reference.
Okay. The final race that we'll look at is the 340, a handicap over a mile, another Class 4, once again, 12 runners.
Yeah, 12 runners.
Well done, Windsor, for being very consistent with the amount of runners that they've got, at least in these three anyway. Something my eye was drawn to here was the fact that Tom Queeley's riding for Roger Varian, not something that we see especially often, but it is a really nice race. Tree of Grace was well touted last time out, but couldn't get the job done. But as I said, you could give a chance to many here.
Yeah, we had a runner in that Tree of Grace race at Kempton. Dover's Jewel finished fourth, and it was a very, very competitive race. Passing Star won for the Hills team. Trees of Grace, not disgraced at all, back in third place. And the fact that he's had a run and it'll be a little bit fitter than some of these others, and the fact he's still unexposed, I think makes him a confident selection under Frankie Dettori for Richard Hannon. A lot of unexposed horses again, so it's not easy. Jahi's Roger Varian's type, he's not the biggest, and whether he ever didn't like the kick back or whatever, he's got a very high head carriage when I saw him run at Wolverhampton last time out, so back in a stronger race on turf, I think he could be vulnerable for Roger Varian. Black Snaps is interesting. William Muir's runner, progressive in two starts, second at Salisbury and one is maiden at Lingfield. Unfortunately, he tried to match strides with Toast New York in a novice race at Wolverhampton, and Toast New York absolutely destroyed him, but obviously, as we saw what he did in the UAE Derby, that wasn't really a surprise. So I think back in handicap coming here, run much better than what he did last time out. Westminster, hard to know what he's worth, really. Very impressive winning at Savile. His two starts on the Polytrack services, only recorded RPRs about 65, so round to 86 at Savile, but will you repeat that back on turf? It's hard to know, but he's owned by Highclere, so you'd imagine he'd be pretty decent if I was able to let him go to the sale. So Westminster heads the weight, and he's one to keep an eye on, but Tree of Grace is a selection in that event.
Okay, Tree of Grace there. In the 340, could you just run us through your three picks on Monday at Windsor, Mr. Milner?
Three tricky handicaps at Windsor. First time back on the turf for most of these, but I've gone for Stomp, Mince's half-brother in the 240. Roger Charlton's type should progress this season. And 310, I have gone for Ain't Got a Scooby, who won on seasonal debut last year for Clive Cox. And in the 340, off a Tree of Grace, who should improve that comeback run at Kempton the other day.
Okay, great stuff. Thank you very much, Mr. Millman, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.